Here is one of the hours of this past Sunday's broadcast as we continue our look into the beauty of communicating with God. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer, opening up the song with our theme song by Gregory Stafford, no one else. And you are, of course, in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are continuing our discussion of communicating with God. I still consider that the greatest honor. I really mean that. I'm not just saying it. I consider it a great honor to be invited by the highest person in all of his world. Can you imagine, again, being invited to the White House to spend a couple of hours with one of your favorite presidents as the two of you and maybe a few others sit down to the table to enjoy a great meal and conversation with each other. You and one of your favorite presidents. So don't just think president now. Think about your favorite. If not, and if you say, well, I don't really like any of the presidents we've ever had. Okay. Maybe you could think about a high-ranking, maybe a CEO or CFO, a high-ranking executive of maybe one of your favorite large corporations. Or maybe even where you live, there may be a company that really impresses you. And you have the opportunity to share lunch and some conversation with their highest-ranking officer. Maybe you really enjoy, you really are impressed by, enthralled with the military. And so you think about your favorite branch of the military and a high-ranking officer, maybe the highest-ranking officer. And you get the opportunity to spend 2 hours uninterrupted, a great meal and conversation with that person. What an experience. What an opportunity. Well, I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, when we have the opportunity to speak with the person who created the whole world, higher ranking than the highest ranking military officer, superior to any and all national leaders, gave the high-ranking executives the ability that they have to lead large organizations. Even if you say, well, what about the church? I'd like to have a conversation with so-and-so. Maybe a very, very high-ranking member of the denomination that you're a member of, some other religious organization, and you'd really like to have a conversation with that person. Think about the one who will bring all of his people across all denominations together, have us seated at his home where there are many mansions, having us eventually sit down to a feast, a fabulous feast in a city that is about the size of one half to two-thirds the size of the United States of America. One city, roughly the size of the United States of America. Streets paved with gold. The foundations of the city made of 12 precious jewels, 12 precious stones. Gates that lead into the city, each made of one pearl. And the master has called all of his children together to have a conversation with him at the banquet table in that city. I'm telling you, this is truly an honor to be able to develop a relationship with the highest. And so I really want us to value God so much that we truly value developing a relationship with him that becomes more and more intimate, more and more solid, to the point where we know nothing and no one will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit mean more to us than anything, mean more to us than anyone. And we get the opportunity to sit down with him, not just for one meal, one great meal with great conversation, but he is ours for life. We are his for life. Many, many, many conversations. Many great meals together with God Almighty. What a privilege. What an opportunity. What an experience. So let's continue our look at communicating with God. And there's one that I want to add to the list. I talked about visions, dreams, God speaking to us occasionally in an audible voice. We talked about videos. We talked about still pictures. We talked about I think this is one that I left off. God speaking to us through other people. Yeah, that's critical too. And then still pictures, of course, these pictures we would see normally in our minds, but also words that we can see in our minds. All right. So, as I mentioned before, those are ones that I'll be sharing with you. I want you to think of other ways that God communicates with us and add that to your list. And as we're doing this, don't see it as just an exercise. See this as an exercise that is designed to help us solidify our relationship with our God and make that relationship more intimate as we consciously look at some of the various ways that we communicate with God and that he communicates with us. And with God, of course, is two-way. As I mentioned before, I'm deliberately focusing right now on the ways that God communicates to us. I'm not focusing right now on the two-way communication. God communicating to us, us communicating to God, which of course is communicating with God. That's what I mean by communicating with God, the two-way nature of the conversation, the two-way nature of the communication. And before we begin to delve into that two-way nature of the conversation, I want us to have a good idea of how God communicates to us, how he's getting information across to us, so that as we become more familiar with how he conveys information to us, we can be in a better position to enter into the two-way conversation by being able to respond to what he's sharing, because we're aware of what he's sharing, what he's conveying. All right, so last time we were taking a look at visions and we were in Genesis chapter 15. And I read this from the NIV, New International Version. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And just so that we clear the question up and, you know, we don't have this question mark in our minds and it's sort of distracting us from moving forward with the rest of the discussion. Let me just give you the backdrop of this verse 15 and 1, Genesis 15 and 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. After this, after what in particular? Well, as we know, when Abram left home to go to the place that God instructed him to go, God told him he would show him. He took his nephew Lot with him. At some point, the flocks and cattle that they had and the number of servants that they had were so numerous that they needed to separate in order to keep peace. So Abram gave his nephew Lot the choice of where he would go, and in whichever direction Lot chose, Abram would go in the opposite direction. So Lot chose the area by the cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. While he was living there, two sets of kings, four on one side, five on the other side, went into battle. As it turns out, the city where Lot was living was overseen by one of the kings who lost that war. And when they lost that war, the conquering kings took people captive to their cities. Lot, his family, his servants, cattle, etc., were all taken away in that relocation. When Abram found out about it, he gathered up his servants and he went out there in the power of God. He defeated those kings who were responsible for the victory that led to his nephews being taken away captive. He defeated them, took Lot, his wife, and all of his household and everything that belonged to Lot, recovered it all, took them back to their home. That leads us up, and there were some more things that took place with regards to Abram paying tithes, etc. But the main thing I want to focus on is what led to Genesis 15 and 1, the statement there. And it had to do with that war, the victory that Abram got over all those other kings and taking back his family and all that his nephew owned. So that takes us back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your shield. Ladies and gentlemen, do any of us need a shield? I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord. He's saying, O sovereign Lord. He's getting ready to pose a question. And it's almost a challenge, but it's very clear from the beginning that Abram is asking the question with a spirit of reverence, with an attitude of great respect for God. And that's why he says, O sovereign Lord. He leads with one of the very realities of who God is. Sovereign Lord. God who is almighty, all-powerful, and has authority, who has absolute authority in all his world. He decides. O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, verse 3, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Now remember, in Genesis 12 and 1, we read that God had told Abram to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go to the land he would show him. And listen to what else he had promised Abram. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So I want to focus on two parts of that passage. I will make you into a great nation, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. For those two specific promises to come to pass, Abram was going to need to have a son, at least one son. I will make you into a great nation. It would be absolutely impossible for Abram himself, by himself, individually, just him, to become a great nation. A great nation, we're talking not only about the power, but we're also talking about the number. I will make you into a great nation. Nations are people, not one person. People. Very often, many, many, many people. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about 180,000 or 390 million or 1 billion. Doesn't matter. Even if it's just 180,000, one person is not 180,000 people. I will make you into a great nation. He was going to have at least one son to get this generational growth process started. Because it would be through the process of the development of generations of people that Abram would eventually become a great nation. And he knew that. He understood that. That's the reason he says to God, what can you give me since I remain childless? And Abram said, you have given me no children. Listen to how the father of faith, the one that so many address as the father of faith, is talking to God, the giver of children. You have given me no children. Abram didn't say, you know what? You told me some time ago that you're going to make me into a great nation. And so I thank you that I have my children. I thank you that I have my sons. That's not what he said. At that point in time, he had no children. And so he spoke the reality that God accepted. You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. He knew that in order to become a great nation, he would need to have an heir, and specifically a male heir, to continue his name, his bloodline. You have given me no children. How did God respond when he said, you've given me no children, and so a servant in my household would be my heir? We'll look at that in just a few.